Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Indeed so. All right. And our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We are practicing unconditional love and acceptance. All right, so first caller. Oh, hold on.
Hi, this is Bonnie calling from Nova Scotia.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hi. Oh, how funny that I should get on because I just put myself in the queue only because I realized I wasn't putting myself in the queue because I felt I wasn't worthy. And my whole practice commitment is to recognize that I am worthy.
To appreciate yourself.
So how funny that I would actually be called on. I was really struggling with food, but for a different reason from most people, it seems. My issue was around how our food is produced and the waste and animal cruelty and all that, trashing the earth. So I was working with the duality of either I try and be informed and participate and try and make a change, in which case I go around quite miserable and angry, or I distract myself and just try and take care of my family. And but then I'm, if not helping, I feel like I'm sort of participating in the destruction of the planet. So neither one of those felt great, and I could not think my way out of it. And when I was walking, in came something like, you know, I'm going to have my own back. I'm going to be my own best friend, and I am worthy, which isn't a place one would get to from thinking about those dualities, but it was just the right thing for me. So it's been really, really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is wonderful, right? Because of the process that you're describing, which is, as long as we are in conditioned mind, then everything is framed as a problem, first of all. There's something wrong with the situation, or there's something wrong with you in how you're dealing with the situation, which is not a place of appreciation at all, right? If there's a voice that's judging you for how you are and how you are, how the circumstances are, and that conditioned process, orientation is always content-oriented. In other words, you have to resolve this issue around the suffering you experience, around how food is created and how food is manufactured. And so that resolving that is what's going to make the difference. And so the wisdom in recognizing that within the conditioned system, you know, there are not going to be any answers. And so I'm opening myself to life, which has the actual answer that's going to resolve everything, which is not a content resolution, but a process resolution, right? So part of what my experience is, that judgment is that I'm not worthy, not just that the circumstances are not the way it should be. And so as soon as I can receive that part of what I have to work on is acceptance for how life is, and acceptance for how I am, and how this Bonnie is the intelligence that animates also, there's a place of center from which there are no problems. So it's deep appreciation for the human being that is always the answer. It's unconditional love and acceptance for the human being that is always the answer, because it puts her in a place of being in life from which that problem doesn't exist, because attention is not on the conditioning.
Okay, so it's kind of a step away from it. Ashwini, can you weave in how karma plays a role in this? Because karma, I know the last many days, has been in every almost every day's assignment, and I'm still not clear on what that means or how that weaves itself into this.
What is your sense of that?
Well, when I think of karma, I think of somebody does something bad and it's bad karma, like sort of something that's going to rebound on you. That's generally
right.
My take.
Well, but so in this situation, right, what you're describing is instead of appreciating the human being that is the intelligence that animates, right, instead of acceptance, there's a way in which the choice is to look at the situation, right, the how animals are treated or how you are a victim of the circumstances. And if you weren't practicing paying attention, that's what you would choose. That's really the karmic choice, right? That's what perpetuates the karma of separation for you.
Focusing on
it. But I'd rather choose that I would go with I'm unworthy rather than and spend my life worrying about something that I may not be able to affect. At a surface level, that is the karmic choice versus the choice that you made, which is to let life inform me of my inherent adequacy and worthiness and my acceptance in the scheme of things. So if you want to explore that karma a little bit more, which is what we're doing, you might want to look at what's the belief or assumption that is really clear underneath the content of the suffering that allows you to see a pattern of choice that is what we are programmed to choose rather than the exit, which is I could be here, I could be happy, I could focus my attention on the fact that I could appreciate Bonnie, right? So to think of it not as karma in the abstract, but look at your process and what is it predisposed towards that causes suffering. That's the karma you're living out or that is living out through you.
Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And keep appreciating yourself and trusting.
Thank you.
That process of turning to the wisdom, love, and compassion to give you accurate answers. Yeah?
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thank you all, Sangha.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Bonnie. And Ashwini seems like a really great example of the practice movement that we're trying to make with that. So if I'm in conditioning, as you were suggesting, all of the options just lead to being stuck in the way that Bonnie was describing it. And as soon as we can move to that place of I am worthy, then all of that possibility opens up. All of that karma kind of vanishes in that, and then there's all that support from life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it's such a spiritual place, right, Chris? Because we do care. We care deeply for forms of life and mm-hmm. for the injustice that's perpetrated on forms of life. But there is that place where if everything is the intelligence that animates, that cruelty is too. The movement of the I that objects to how life is egocentric because there is an assumption of I know better than the intelligence that animates.
Yeah, exactly so. Yeah, and that essentially that all of those cares that we have about life that are coming from life taking care of life sometimes is how I would describe it, then those are prime areas to have that taken over by egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, and turned into identifications.
Well, yes, and so it's what we were talking about, I think, with Rebecca last week, before the end of the week, that somehow or the other, it's important to go around suffering because of the actions of egocentricity. But I will be right there allowing that very same egocentricity to call me unworthy and won't do anything about it.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is our opportunity in those places, which is the only place in which I can end the cruelty is in in my being where the voices are allowed to do anything to me.
Which is why we
practice appreciation, right?
I see. So instead of allowing the voices to do anything to me, then that's that movement that we're talking about into appreciation. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing, just in terms of the assignment, is that the whole I am worthy, the movement to I am worthy really does appreciate the practitioner, like we're talking about, right? And
yeah.
How overlooked the practitioner can be when we are in an identification, that the attention
yeah.
is on the identification and not on the practitioner. And so the practitioner
right.
kind of takes a second seat to everything that ego has going.
Yes. The attempt to wake up is not acknowledged if I can't see it if I'm identified with ego, because
uh-huh,
ego doesn't
yeah.
acknowledge or appreciate anything.
Yeah, great way to say it, yeah. All right, let's hear from our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Joyce from Santa Rosa.
Hey, Joyce.
Hi. Well, all the things we're just talking about with the last person seem to be pointing that to this being is doing, and there's been I've seen that I'm not putting a lot of effort into doing the practice. The conditioning has, you know, a little bit, and then, that's enough. You don't need to pay attention to it all day. And so coming up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner, it's like driving along in the car, and the piece of paper that was on flew out the window. And I just did not pay attention, and this has been buzzing around in this being really a lot in the last week, and I'm sure forever. But
may I offer something, Joyce, in that place?
Please,
because
sure.
the assignment is not about focusing on where you're not paying attention or where you're not being appreciated. The assignment is, how can you offer appreciation? And it's a very subtle way in which conditioning takes us over, right? Which is, I'm supposed to be appreciative, but I'm going to count all the ways in which appreciation is not happening. So there's a way in which we're conditioned to keep talking about how it's not working, not to look for the way in which it is working. If I'm only looking for a lack of appreciation, then that's what I'm going to find, because what's looking is a lack of appreciation. And it's difficult to do, right? Because, as you're saying, there's plenty of evidence for you're not paying attention. Something flew out of the window and you're not paying attention. All that voice is buzzing in your head all the time, and it shouldn't be. And so you're not doing the practice right. And so then we tend to believe that, rather than going, okay, what can I want to be in the process of appreciation, so what can I appreciate? And then you start to look for what you can appreciate, not what you can't appreciate. And that's how you build that muscle, right? So you could say that, that piece of paper, I noticed that piece of paper flew out of the window. What a beautiful breeze. Now you're looking for how to appreciate the circumstance, not listening to a conditioned voice that's telling you not to pay attention, that you're not paying attention because you didn't notice that it flew out of the window. You could say, wow, I didn't notice that, but how wonderful that piece of paper decided to go somewhere else.
Yes, yeah. And
right?
I was looking at it as there's appreciation that I saw that, and the willingness to now look for what, you know, for the appreciation.
That's right. That's a wonderful reframe, right? So it's the voice says, no, you're not paying attention. Oh, but I did see that. Now they're paying attention, and I appreciate that. And if it's hard because ego has such a foothold on you're not a good right practitioner, then the way to move into appreciation is to try to find something to appreciate in life, right? And now I'm in the process of appreciation from which it's easier to do the movement that you just did, which is now I appreciate the practitioner who's willing to redouble her efforts to pay attention.
Yes, wow. Yes, thank you. I was close. Thank you.
And you can appreciate that, can't you?
Yes.
Right? I was close.
And I showed up today.
And you showed up today. Exactly. You were close. You were willing to discuss your process. You were able to put it out there. Yep.
Woohoo. All right. Woo-hoo. Thank you so much, Ashwini. And
take care, Joyce.
And everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Joyce. And very fun, Ashwini. Was looking at how we often talk about when it drops in that we're identified, or when it drops in, not that we're identified, when it drops in that we, that it's time to disidentify in some sense, that we're already disidentified. And mm-hmm. in that same way, it seems like that's true for every process. So a process of appreciation, as soon as we hear something that that's not being appreciated, chances are that strength, there's an awareness that happened just before that of something, it's just an awareness. Mm-hmm. And then conditioning takes it over in from a discernment of just being an awareness into the judgment, like you're saying, into what's not right, what's not working, what we're not appreciating. And so that whole notion of just moving back one step to that place of awareness and consciously looking around for what to appreciate, then, bingo, there we are, right back in that place
mm-hmm.
of appreciation.
Yes.
And if we're there, there's always something that's there to appreciate because we're
yes.
already in the process of appreciation.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live and on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan from Ventura.
Hey, Susan.
You can hear me okay?
Clearly.
Great. So when I read the assignment yesterday about celebrating the participants or appreciation, immediately I went in my head like, oh, God, what am I going to do? What's that going to be? Where am I going to find time to do it? Another assignment, I already got some, you know, that whole process. I was like, okay, I'll put it off till later. I can't even think about this. And then I was lying there with my husband talking, and it occurred to me, I thought, oh, it'd be nice to not jump up and start doing, just cuddle for a few minutes. And the thought dropped in, well, this is your celebration. You're taking time for what really nourishes you and your heart wants. And so mm-hmm. I did. So what I realized, it's like that, how you do one thing is how you do everything. Just taking
uh-huh.
the assignments, going up into my head to figure out what I was going to do and when and how, according to some godforsaken standard, instead of trusting that when the moment arrived or the right thing for me arrived, it would just drop in. So
mm-hmm.
it was
yeah.
It was just wonderful to see it, and I realized how something Sherry said yesterday, that going up into my head, whether it's relationships or money or food or whatever it is, or even these assignments, it's the same process.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not trusting.
Yes. Well, I think that you're articulating that ultimately the practice that we're doing is to be here. And when we're here, we're given all the information that we need in this that is needed in the moment, right? So there you were watching your process, the process of reaction to the assignment.
Yes.
And noticing that process is the same to everything in life. It's not you. It's just simply egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. And so when you were present, life suggested that the best appreciation of life would be here for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the experience you had. And notice everything about that process, right? That there is that conditioned or default movement into how I do everything is how I do how I do anything is how I do everything, which is, oh, God, and procrastination, and how to do it and when to do it and where to prioritize it. And moving away from here, where here is where you within quotes, do it, right? Being in the moment, appreciating the moment is the appreciation for the human being and life in the moment. It's the ultimate appreciation.
Yeah, it was kind of a, it's, I don't know, and that's okay. It'll turn up, and I can trust that. Whoever I is not really in control, and it's sort of an unknown place, and I think I'm just beginning to trust that, and I'm not even sure what that is, but it's not the me I usually look to for answers. And I can feel untouched by it in sort of this hint of something much easier and bigger than how I usually process things.
Exactly so. That there's a growing faith, if I may call it that, that there's a place of I don't know, which is much more on my side and feels different from where I normally look, which is conditioned mind. That's very familiar, right? It's always when to do this, how to do it, where to do it, how to do it. And then if you step out of that process of knowing, there's a lack of knowing. There's a lack of knowing what it is, and there's a lack of knowing what it will give me in terms of information. But it's a place that I can feel into and trust and build that trust. It's a marvelous place.
And it's also built in the space that I don't know isn't a bad place and there's something wrong with me and I'm inadequate. I'm not up to my life. Do you know what I mean? It's like I don't know has a connotation of what's wrong, I'm bad, I'm inadequate, versus I'm open and I trust that it will work out however it's going to work out, which is really hasn't been part of my worldview. If I don't know, I'm in trouble already.
That's right. Conditioned to believe that, right? That not knowing is considered to be the worst thing in the world. And so we live in having to know and not being present. And to have that possibility, it's so relaxing, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
And but the moment will give me all the information. That's what I am turning to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a beautiful place of trust. It's the safest place to be, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Trust and faith, and I think the two are tied together. I want to figure it out, but I'm not going to figure it out. But they seem, maybe one builds on the, I don't know, but the two of them are really kissing cousins in my mind somehow. They're really interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice to have that experience and see that and see it all over again about how quickly I go in my mind. And it's not a good place to visit, actually. So,
It isn't.
That's all I It's like your mind is like a bad neighborhood. You don't want to go there alone.
Yes, and one which we are somehow drawn to keep revisiting because we keep forgetting how unsafe it really is, right? Because it's just familiar.
Exactly. It's I just go back to the old neighborhood over and over again, and it's so in the past. But
not anymore.
It was a double reward. I got to see the process and experience appreciation. So,
wonderful.
Great. Thank you.
All right, new neighborhoods to explore, Susan.
Going down another sidewalk.
That's right. Yeah.
Thanks, Michael. Too. Bye, bye.
Bye, Susan.
Thank you, Susan. Joining you, what was dropping in for me was how often we talk about how important it is to just show up, and that if we do keep showing up, that something like that will happen, that we'll move to a place of presence, that will just start to turn the conditioned world upside down. So create a fondness for not knowing.
Greater fondness for not knowing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So, next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura in Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Well, this.
What are you seeing?
I feel like it was really helpful in the prompt, the part about appreciation not, was it, not being based on performance. That was particularly helpful for me this month because I've gotten behind in the science, or it's not even really that I've gotten behind, it's more that I think conditioning had been effective at not allowing me to do it.
Laura, we were in group, and I think it was Michael who was saying that there is no behind, there's only now. Right? Now is where you are. Behind is such a conditioned notion of, oh, behind equals not having done the assignment.
Right.
And so, yeah. And it was so conditioned to believe that you're only you're in a retreat in which doing the assignments is part of what you signed up to do. And if you haven't done the assignments, then wow, what kind of appreciation am I going to bring this practitioner who hasn't kept her commitment? Right?
Yeah. And so it was just, and so I feel like that part of the assignment about it's not based on performance was just so helpful in reminding me to kind of reframe it and see that I have been practicing with this. And part of what I've been seeing is that conditioning, you know, this is charged content for me and conditioning did not have any interest in me doing this, you know. And,
right. Well, and it's much bigger than that, right, Laura, if I may?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, so when we say that appreciation is not based on performance, it's also not limited to doing the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Or the retreat, right? Because you could appreciate Laura for so many things, for the way she shows up in her life, the way she shows up at work, who she is, the length of her hair, the color of her eyes, mm-hmm. her taste in clothes, right? There's so much to appreciate about her. But that's what we're seeing in this process, right? That the appreciation is limited to whether or not it's you did this thing, and then if you didn't do this thing, I still have to find some way of appreciating her for at least trying to do this thing and noticing that ego didn't let her do it.
And then you're saying that's sort of a limited view.
Well, yes.
Am I getting that?
Yes. Well, not, I wouldn't say it's a limited view. I'm just saying that it's possible for us to look at how ego takes that over too, right?
Mm-hmm. So I kind of have to justify or something.
Right. You did do the assignment. You have practiced. This is the charged content. You've shown up. You're willing. Yes, all of that is true. And there's so much more to appreciate about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not allowed to see, right? That's all I'm saying. That you're not just not allowed to show up and do the assignment. You're also not allowed to just appreciate Laura for everything she is, not related to whether or not she did the assignment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of all shrinks down into that one standard.
That's exactly right. You didn't do the assignment, so we have to find a way in which we have to appreciate you not based on performance.
Mm-hmm.
In this realm, and only in this realm, as opposed to, wow, there's so much about her to appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And love.
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel like it was... It was helpful to sort of that when I was, you know, even sort of just being able to say, okay, you know, I'm going to appreciate what I have done, then it was easier to just be like, and I'm going to catch up tonight and, you know, and just
yes.
record and, you know, the...
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's what we were talking about earlier, right? So conditioning wants to make it an absolute performance-based evaluation. The awareness moves into appreciation of, oh, well, maybe that's the case, but I know that I did show up and I was willing. And so in this domain, there's a way to appreciate what you did show up for, which is what we're talking about with Joyce, right? We could always alter the lens and go, where can I show the appreciation? And from that process of appreciation, it's possible to go, okay, well, I know this is important to me. I know this is important to Laura. So I'm going to sit down and catch up. And I can appreciate that too. I can appreciate that about her. It seems that what we're closing in on, right, all of us, right, Laura, is that one is there's an appreciation for something she does, and then there's an appreciation for simply who she is.
Yeah, and that kind of has to be the starting point for it not to be conditional.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And it's a process, as you're pointing out, right? It takes us a while to switch gears from the judgment of ego to the unconditional, all-embracing acceptance of life.
Yeah.
As you.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
It's always worth doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Was there more?
No, I think that's it for now.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Laura. And Ashwini, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. And here's our assignment for tomorrow. So do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on kindness, all the kindness you receive and all the kindness you offer.
Love it.
Seems like a good
so
follow-up
achievable.
To appreciating the practitioner, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one thing we can all conclude. We can be kind.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 That's an easy one to find. Yeah.
Yes.
In all of those directions.
Yeah.
Right? I can see it outside myself as well as coming from this human. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Go happy.
Thanks, everyone. Go happy until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow.